This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This one's for you, Leo.
Dude. I
won't let you down. Did you think that this day was ever going to come?
I don't know, but and I don't want to hype it up too much. We do a lot of cool interviews and talk to a lot of cool people. I would put this man in the top five or top three of people that I would hope we would get to speak to one day, and that's including every celebrity and famous person ever. I still can't believe that Leo Schofield is on our line right now.
So John and I both got turned on to the Bone Valley podcast. If you're in this area, you know Lakeland is right up the road, smack dab between Orlando and Tampa. And Gilbert King, who put together and hosted this podcast, does an incredible job. I'll let you listen to it for all the details yourself. All you need to know is that this man maintained his innocence as he served 35 years. Years of a life sentence in the murder of his wife, Michelle. Leo, I cannot believe that we're actually going to hear your voice on our phone line. Thank you so much for calling us, buddy.
How the hell are you?
Man, I am fantastic and excited just to be on the phone with you guys. This is a great privilege for me to be able to come on here to the show and tell you and all your listeners. So thank you so much for the love and support that I literally felt that, especially over this past year. You know, getting here has been a long journey. And so I can't even put the words how excited I am to be out here free. I'm literally coming out to my little lawn chair out here where I spent the first two nights, out under the stars. And I just couldn't even go inside. I just sat here and, man, it was so incredible. It is unbelievably exciting to be out.
Leo, can you put into words 37 years ago, you go through the unspeakable tragedy of your wife being murdered, which is horrific and the kind of thing that'll stick with a guy for the rest of his life no matter what. And then to find yourself, I'll say it, I don't know if you would use this word, railroaded by the criminal justice system and thrown in prison when someone else confessed to the murder. Can you take us back to that point in your life as a young man and what was going through your mind at the time, Leo?
Yeah, I got to be very careful with what I say because one of the things I did want to share with you is that this fight is not over for me. You know, I am out of prison. I'm not actually free. So I'm under parole. And so we're still fighting for exoneration. And I've been careful, very careful throughout the entire appellate process to not say anything disparagingly against anybody that's
sure.
You know, in my mind, has caused this thing to happen. And, you know, I'm under a strict gag order, to be honest with you. But I called personally because of who you guys are to me in my personal life. But going back to your question, going way back then, it was the beginning of a decades-long nightmare for me. And I can tell you this much, and this is a very important message because it was one of the most profound lessons of my entire life. I sat there as a young man in the trial, during the trial, and I had no idea what was happening to me. I mean, the language of the court, you know, the things that happen in a courtroom, I had never been in trouble before. And I'm literally trusting my life to a stranger. My attorney was not anything close to what I have representing me now. And I knew nothing of what was going on. And the judge said something to the jury that just stuck with me forever. And it was that, it is not the responsibility of the court to inform you, meaning the jury, of what your rights are. It is the responsibility of you, the jury, to attend any library, any public library, and learn what those rights are so that you know what they are. And I thought, you know, it's too late for me then because I'm sitting at a table, never expecting to be in any kind of trouble before. and I had no idea what was happening. And that's largely how I ended up here, because there were a lot of things that should not have happened in my case. And a lot of that's about to come out. But and because of that, I spent 3.5 decades of my life in prison for a crime I didn't commit. Man. On top of the incredible loss of my wife. At the very heart of this, as it has always been, the fight wasn't so much about getting me out of prison as much as it was getting justice for Michelle Somm. Michelle deserves better than this. And so that's been my fight. That's the reason I didn't take any plea deals. It's the reason why I still will not take any plea deals. And it's the reason I'm going to continue to fight.
Hell yeah, Leo.
It's one of those things, Leo, and it's so good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for calling. It is surreal to hear your voice on our line right now. And I think that, you know, maybe with all of the podcast and all of the things that we've heard, that people have come a long way. But for you at that time, and from what I understand, it had to just feel like you knowing you're innocent, that everything was just going to work out. And that when you talk and you're open about the truth, it will set you free. And I think maybe now more people realize because of your story that it's not that simple. You can't just tell your story and tell the truth, and that's where it all lies.
Thank you. That is so very true. In fact, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, just this past week, that it took maybe 3 months after I was already in prison. I'm not talking about the 262 days of jail before that. I went to prison, and it was 3 months before the reality set in that this is not going to be ever made right. You know, I was constantly telling people I'm innocent, that, you know, and I believed in the justice system, because this is not supposed to happen to people. We're not supposed to have to go through this. We're supposed to be protected by that system. They are sworn not only to convict people, guilty people, but to protect the innocent. And in my case, that was severely dropped. But and I always believed it's going to be made right, because this is too wrong to be let it go this far. And unfortunately, in my case, it took a lot longer.
Yeah. There are a couple of heroes, I'm sure, to you and to people who are fans of justice. And that is Scott Kupp, who quit his career as a circuit judge to help exonerate you, and Gilbert King, who won a Pulitzer for putting together the Bone Valley podcast. I'm sure you can't even express how much gratitude you have for those gentlemen assisting you on this path to freedom. Right, Leo?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Scott Kupp's been very close to me. He's not just my lawyer. He's a very close friend and brother, and he's that before he was anything else. And I'm hoping he doesn't have my head on a platter over getting on a radio show. But this was something, you know, very personal to me. I was just on the phone with him a few minutes ago. We are in constant contact, and I can't say enough for, you know, I mean, there's something to be said, and this is kind of the validation of my innocence. A judge doesn't resign a seat to represent somebody that he thinks is innocent. You know, Scott has known, and when he looked into the case, and he's a very smart guy, and he knew. And so this is something that, you know, was important to him, his sense of right. And justice doesn't allow it to stand. And so, you know, he's been by my side for a long time. Even while he was a judge, he was monitoring what was happening with me.
Yeah.
And then you can't say enough about Gilbert King and Kelsey Decker. The work they've done on Bone Valley was just amazing. And it's really funny, because we were going to do a book together early on, Gilbert and I. That was kind of what the agreement was. And then about a year into it, that was changed to a podcast. And I'm going to be honest with you, just being in prison, I didn't have any idea what a podcast was. And so I was like, what is a podcast?
Right.
When he told me it's some kind of thing on the radio, I mean, on computer and stuff, I said, that sounds like AM radio.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we gonna, you know, how are we going to get the story out to who listens to AM radio?
Nobody.
Nobody. Right. So I was looking forward to a book, and the podcast is went far and above that. I think we're approaching something like 10 million subscribers to it now.
Wow.
And so it's been incredible.
Hell yeah. Man.
And then and then you cannot disregard the support that you have 102.5 Bone, this particular show and even Mike Kyle to the show. I mean, I was mentioned not so much. I became a hero over at Hardy because they listen to you guys religiously over there. I want to give a shout out to my Hardy boys over there. I know that there's a bunch of them listening right now, and so that's really cool. And that helped to change the narrative. Your radio program and your listeners helped to change the narrative in this geological location, which was important to me because I'm home.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a very gratifying thing to know I've been welcomed back where this all started.
Man, what a privilege to speak to you. We were talking to Leo Schofield. He was the subject of the Bone Valley podcast. And he is. I know that you said it's a long road, but at this moment, you're sitting in a lawn chair as a free man. Can you talk a little bit about just walking out of those doors? What are some of the first things you want to do? Just kind of the everyday things that we take for granted. Is there a meal? Is there a place you wanted to visit? What have you kind of just been doing with this freedom since you've been out, Leo?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So when I first got out, the first minute I was out, I mean, literally walking out the gate, I can't even begin to tell you how surreal that was. And it was early morning, and of course, my wife, my dad, and my sister were there to pick me up. And my wife wanted a hug for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, the first thing I want to do is get out of Dodge. I'm not wanting to hang out in the parking lot and hug. Yeah. You know, we can do this somewhere else. And so, we got gone out. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, after so many years in there, I had no idea what I wanted to do other than just experience this moment, you know. And so it took us like 5 hours to get up here to Tampa. And I was just amazed at the sights, the different things. Everything is different to me out here.
Seriously.
I mean, cars are different. The buildings are different. And it was just like being in Disney World. And I'm going to tell you the honest God's truth. I've been out for 3 weeks and 2 days today. Well, who's counting? And it's every day is Saturday for me, brother.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I was told I got to stop doing this because I drive by and I got my license back. And I was just down went down the junkyard to help fix my wife's car. I got a honeydew list, by the way.
Like, oh, man.
That sucks. Yeah, come on.
At least wait 4 weeks or 5 weeks before the list comes out.
Yeah. And I got this house, we stop at a light, and it just seems like everybody's angry all the time. I'm waving, I'm high, and saying hi and smiling and stuff, and just trying to spread some joy, because one of the things that I'll never take for granted again is relationships with people and with others.
Yeah.
Man, it's so important to be connected, man. Nobody can do this thing by themselves, and I'm no exception to that. And so it's just really, really great to be out. It's really great to breathe free air. It's really great to look and see for long distances without having to look through a razor wire fence or some steel bars. Or, you know, I was a little freaked out sleeping in my house the first night because, I actually didn't sleep in there. I stayed out, like I said, and sat in the chair. But being in my room, the walls are not like the walls of the cells that I left. So it's like, I could probably run right through this house and not even have to open a door. So that was kind of weird. But, yeah, it's really, really great. You know, it's really great to be out.
Man.
It's great to be among people. And
so great to have you out, Leo. It's unbelievable to hear your voice.
It really is. And, you know, we talked about a bunch of people who made this possible. But, you know, hearing the story, I would imagine your wife, Chrissy, in that relationship. How can you kind of take us through falling in love through prison while in prison, and then to be able to have somebody that believes you at such a core level and is there for you when they don't have to be, or there's no personal gain, you know, it's got to just feel surreal to find that kind of love going through what you were going through.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's really special there too. But I want to say this, listen, sexy blonde haired girl is sexy in prison or out of prison.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. So. It didn't matter where I was at. I'm on with the radio.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's the radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I left that on for you.
Yeah.
somebody's in the house listening to the radio saying, hey, you're on the radio.
Yeah. Like, I am on the radio.
There have been a lot of technological advancements in the last 37 years.
Yeah. Some great guys I'm living with. Meeting Chrissy was one of the first blessings. I met her early on, like maybe 3 years in. And I was alone up to that point. It was easy to fall in love with her, not just because of how she looked. She's good-looking woman, obviously, but you know, her personality and the person that she is, very sincere. And it was tough. I can tell you that. You know, you fall in love, you don't have a choice in that. It just happens. And then you're dealing with, you know, I got to tell her I'm in prison. And then I got to tell her I'm in prison because I've been accused of the murder of my wife, which, you know, that's not a very cool thing to have to say. There's no way to be,
that's a rough,
you know,
one.
Cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have Natural Forever and don't know when it's going to end. And so I didn't want to commit her to that. You know, that was definitely her choice to make. But nobody that really loves their woman would want them to be, you know, put into that situation when they had to do this. But, you know, it is a decision that we made smartly. We were together just as friends for like 4 years before we even made a decision to get married. And it was the best decision I made in my life. I've been married till we just celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary.
Oh, man,
I was out for that.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, happy anniversary. That was amazing. And it was her birthday this past weekend. We were able to do a birthday party for her for the first time in 32 years that we've been together.
What a celebration. And,
yeah, so it's been pretty awesome. And she is awesome. And she is the real hero of the story. You know, without her, I don't even meet Scott or anybody else for that matter. She was the one that was, you know, bulldogging this from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't even like using that word because they use it a lot for her. But
yeah,
she's anything but a bulldog, yeah. I can tell you that. She's just very tenacious in what she does.
Yeah.
And,
man, I feel like a society all the way around, and I don't know what you've got planned in the coming weeks and months, but can maybe learn so much from you. And you touched on, you know, how you're kind of seeing society and the people around you. And it is probably the closest and worst way to experience damn near a time machine where you don't see what's going on. Do you really, you mentioned it, and I wanted to kind of see if you could expound upon it, that people seemed angrier. Are you feeling like drastic differences in the society that you left behind all those years ago?
Yeah, I kind of do. You know, I mean, first of all, when I had an opportunity to walk in the store to go shopping and stuff, which was crazy because, I mean, in prison, when you go to the canteen to get peanut butter, you get peanut butter and it's this and this only. And I went into Publix and they got rows and rows and rows of peanut butter and all kinds of choices and stuff. And like, I don't know which one. I just want peanut butter. You know, but everybody's on this little phone thing, you know, and now they got them in their ears. This was really funny because people walking around talking, and I'm thinking, I'm asking them what they're saying because I thought they were talking to me, but they got this stuff in their ear and they're talking to their ear. And yeah, it was really, really crazy. But yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of tension in the world, and I think that's largely because of, you know, the leaders that we have that keep us divided instead of bringing us together. That's just my personal opinion. I don't want to get too deep into that. But, yeah, I think the world could use a little bit more love.
Dude, absolutely.
A little bit more friendliness, a little more,
what,
you know, willing to engage. So, you know, I went to get some tools to fix my wife's car. And down at the AutoZone, and there was a lady out there. She said, "Do you know how to fix a flat tire?" And I looked at her car, and I said, "That looks like the Jetsons thing." I don't, you know. But I said, "I can give it a try." And I managed to change her tire for her, so that was a good thing.
Look at you out there already making
a
difference, man. Wow.
Leo joins us right now. He served 35 years of a life sentence in the murder of his wife, Michelle, that he did not commit, denied parole 4 times. Even after another man confessed the killing. We won't get into any of the nuts and bolts of that. It happened up the road in Lakeland. Can you take us through the mindset of a man who's been in prison, say, 15 years of 30? Like, how in the world do you keep your wits about you in that institutionalized environment with no promise, maybe even sometimes no hope of ever walking out of that place as a free man? How did you maintain your sanity, Leo? You sound great.
Yeah, you know, and we all have our moments, right? I mean, I'm not a hero at all in this story. I've had my darker moments, especially in the prison. That's a really great question, and I make it a point to never compare my time because there's guys in the prison that are doing 9, 10 years, and it's a long time for them. And then they hear how long I've been in, and they weren't even born for 5 or 7 years before, you know, I was already doing time. And so, you know, it's all relative to who you are, and of course, I'm going to tell you something. There are more success stories in the prison than you're aware of because they don't get the privilege that I've had of the exposure that I've had. And how you do it is, one, just by believing that, you know, in the goodness of humanity still, you know, you got to believe in yourself. I never stopped believing in me, you know, and fighting for what's right. I never stopped believing in the fight for justice for Michelle. Those things kept me going because no one else can stand for her. I was the only one left that can stand for her, and she couldn't stand for herself, so I had to. And so that kept me going. And then slowly but surely, I started being blessed with this team around me, my wife, you know, eventually Scott, and many others. There are Richard Baltman, one of my attorneys, Andrew Crawford, many attorneys that are still with me now, the Innocence Project in Florida, Seth Miller, all of them people. And they just poured so much love and support into me that I could not let them down. And so, you know, for me, it was about staying in education. I wanted to stay as relevant with the times I could because I knew I was separated from society. And if I'd have stayed playing handball for 35 years, which I got pretty good at, and did nothing else, I'd have come out here and been absolutely useless. But I stayed in education. I've got 4 college degrees. And, you know, there's a lot to learn out here. But I'm not so far behind that I can't, you know, catch up. And I did decide yesterday that I'm not going to try to go at the pace that the world around me is going because it's just a little too quick for me right now.
Sure.
I got to fix my wife's car. Hopefully I can make enough money to get a truck. I'm trying to get a truck so I can haul my bike up here. I got a Harley sitting in my house. But so I'm just putting it together and just having a dream. You got to have a dream.
Yeah.
You got to have something to live for, to fight for, to, you know, and with people such as yourself and the support, it really makes that a lot easier. There's a lot of guys. Listen, I'm not just saying this. There's a lot of guys. And my best friend, Kevin Herrick, he's in there right now. He doesn't belong in prison. He's as innocent as I am, and he doesn't have the attention yet. But there's a lot of guys in there that are hurting, that need the help. I pray that somehow they get it. But there's a lot more because you know what I noticed? What I learned too, and this is kind of a strange thing, especially for people in society. Once you've been in that prison, once you've been in there, it's kind of like you get kind of looked at like you were born and raised in there, like it's a different planet or something. But that's not the reality. The reality is that the prisons are made up largely of many people who have made a simple, and I'm not underplaying the crime. I'm just saying that they've made a really piss poor choice in life that they would never make again, given the same circumstances. That doesn't excuse it. I'm not an advocate for criminals at all. There are some in there that, you know, that they're rightly there, but there's a whole bunch more of them that you could do something else with besides prison, and they'd be a lot better off, and we'd all be better off. You know, and it just takes belief. It takes people caring. If you guys didn't care about me, I'm not kidding. I am not exaggerating this. I would not have made the last year. I mean, it was really, really tough. Like I said, I had my dark days. It's really hard to know that you're innocent. Know that you've proven it. Irrefutable proof. And still couldn't get the release. I had some dark moments during that time. Because it became evident to me that we're not all out for justice. Some are just out to keep the status quo. And that's a sad thing because my life counts too.
Yeah.
My wife, Michelle's life counted.
Yep.
And her family, her brothers and her dad, her mom, they all counted. But it wasn't registering that way with certain individuals.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave that at that. And thank you guys.
Leo,
really, for your
buddy,
support.
Thank
you. We love you, man.
And, you know, there are a lot of people out there, whether they're imprisoned in a facility or in their own mind, they needed to hear this message of hope today and of optimism and of not losing faith, even though you're in a near hopeless situation for decades. And they needed to hear what you had to say. Your sister reaching out to me and letting me know that, like, you had listened to our show while you were incarcerated meant so much. John and I were like little kids on Christmas.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe it. You're a hero to us, my man. And to actually connect with you the first time, which isn't going to be the last time, blows me away. And thank you so much for your heartfelt words. I know you missed out on a lot during those decades in jail. One movie that I think should be on your list is The Shawshank Redemption, because it speaks of hope, and it's a beautiful film about friendship in jail and prison and, you know, a crime that maybe somebody didn't commit. So I know there's a lot on your plate.
Have you seen it? Did you watch a lot of movies in there?
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't get to see all the most recent movies, but that one's kind of a staple in there. So, we've seen The Shawshank. Yeah.
I guess it would be. That's my bad. I for some reason thought he was in the Stone Age. Yeah. Like, ooh, what Shawshank Redemption? Me no movies. Yeah. You know, sorry about that. My bad.
Well, they're not far from the Stone Age. Believe me, they're set kind of far back.
Dude, our buddy John from Oz and Rain just said, "I will get in my trailer and load him in my truck to go get his Harley."
Oh yeah. Let's stay in touch because I know there's a bunch of people. Anything you need help with, man?
Oh,
anything we can help with? We definitely will, man. We're so glad to have you out breathing that fresh, free air, buddy.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, man. Listen, I can't thank you guys enough. For real, I mean that with all my heart.
Yeah.
You guys are everything. You kept me going. We get excited. We'd hear the show, and it was strange because we'd have to hear it through count procedures and stuff, and so we'd hit and miss with it. But man, it was just a really great phenomenon that we had an entire prison, you know, united around this radio show, and it was
awesome,
just
man.
Great. And so when anytime you guys mentioned my name, they were all running around, everybody, "You're on the radio, you're on the radio." I'm not really on the radio, I'm standing right here with you.
Well, now you are, and shout out to all the Hardy Boys in there. Don't lose
hope. Great guys over there.
Yeah.
And good people work there too, by the way. There's a lot of good people that are employed there. They create kind of a family of its own in a very unique way.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I'm not going to be saying anything disparaging about the DOC or anything like that, because they didn't do anything to me.
Right.
And, and then I've met some really, really good people who have gotten behind me and helped me and supported me day by day. And, you know, without that, I wouldn't be here. So I could go on for days thanking the people that have helped me along the way, and I'd still forget somebody. So I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to give a shout out to everybody and tell you guys I love you.
Love you.
You mean the world
to
me. And now I'm here. I can listen to you on my laptop.
I love it.
I can't leave the county yet.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
don't be a stranger.
No, sir.
And before we let you go, just to give perspective out there on how long Leo was incarcerated, when he first went behind bars, Joe Biden was 73 years old. So that is, that's really, that'll give you a little bit of perspective. But listen, Leo, thank you, buddy. You're the man. We it was so great to hear your voice. Don't be a stranger. Call us anytime and every time you're thinking about it. And thank you for blessing us with your presence today.
Man.
And man, emancipation has to feel so great. You deserve this. Soak in every minute of it, my friend.
Thank you, my brothers. Thank you so much.
Love you
guys.
Love you back.
You too, buddy.
Keep doing what you're doing, man.
We will, dude.
Man.
Thank you, man. Yeah. You be blessed, too. God.
Dude, what the heck? A cold call. A cold call from Leo Schofield.
So we went to break after going long. First of all, John and I made such a mistake because we're like, "Oh, today let's just stay disciplined. We're going to stay on time. We got so much stuff to get to." And of course we didn't. So as soon as we went to our last break, I just happened to pick up one of the lines and say, "Hey, sorry, hang in there. It's going to be a minute." He said, "This is Leo Schofield." And John and I are both just like,
man, he sounds great.
God. 37 years in prison. Shout out to all you Hardy Boys and everybody incarcerated who listens to us.
Yeah.
Hang in there. We believe in your innocence, unless you really did it.
Man, that was crazy.
All right. We're going to come back with, I hate to put the 540 fun fact out there, and it's not so great, but it'll let us commemorate a hero, John.
It will.
A hero
to
you.
This was a turning point in my life, I think. And it's something I'm very passionate about and very sad about still.
You know what I'm passionate about? Getting those windows and patio doors looking better, for crying out loud. Look at your windows and patio doors. If they're not beautiful, go to rbafla.com. Renewal by Anderson will totally hook you up with new windows and patio doors. They will work with you. They don't just deal in the replacement of windows and patio doors. Oh, no. They work with you to plan, scheme, plot, if you will, for a new situation in your home. Renewal by Anderson is awesome. You will love them. They are a proud partner of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are a proud partner of Drew Garabo Live, and they are a better way to a better window. RBAFLA.com. License number CGC1527613.
Bone Fam, the Bone Bonus. Sponsored by Farrah & Farrah, Tampa's accident attorneys. FarrahandFarrah.com. This hour's Bone Bonus keyword is...
score! Head to the 102.5 The Bone app now and enter...
score!
Before 15 minutes past the top of the hour and the $1,000 Bone Bonus... can be yours. John, please use today's Bone Bonus keyword in a sentence.
I met an old man this morning who was looking to score.
From the album, The Score.
We used to be number 10. Now we permanent in one. In the battle, lost my finger. Mike became my arm. Pistol nozzle hits your nasal.
Come on into the party, everybody.
We're here. You might as well come on in. It's really great to have you. Come on in. Can we get you a beverage?
Yeah, we've already been here, so yep. But glad you're here, though.
We've been having a party, like, for an hour now. It's just finally great that you showed up. Can I get you a strawberry milk, perhaps a coconut Yoo-Hoo? Maybe a Shasta diet chocolate fudge soda.
Dude, so it took me about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, but I did finally kill that strawberry milk in my fridge, and that's a delicacy.
I don't think I've had it in 20 years or so, but I vividly remember the last time I did.
I would love, and the Nesquik was fine, but I would love to find like the purest, like most organic, fresh strawberry milk, like maybe even with seeds in it.
I'd imagine that Plant City has somewhere where you can get... See, it's probably one of those things where fresh strawberry milk doesn't taste right. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have that artificial beaver ass gland strawberry milk. Castoreum.
Oh, that's what it was.
What?
You ever see that fancy milk on the shelf, Promised Land?
No.
Oh, they have a strawberry that I will be trying in the near future now that I know strawberry milk is delicious.
All right.
It's Jersey cows. But
hey,
that's not...
What are you freaking doing over there?
But I don't think Jersey cows are from New Jersey.
No, it's just a name, Jersey cows.
Oh, I thought it was like somewhere around the world.
No, I think they're just called Jerseys for some reason. I don't know why, and I don't care, so don't call. Okay? God. Man, we have so much to get to today that we don't want to stop the party because you can't stop the party. But we've got so much show to get to that we have to stay disciplined today, and it's not our easiest thing to do. It's not our strong suit, but...
Yeah. Just be prepared if you plan on listening tomorrow, too. It's downhill from here.
Yeah. Like,
well, it's uphill from here and then downhill from there.
Right, like... You're catching us at the perfect time, but tomorrow, just expect mediocrity, please. But you, lucky you, you're listening right now, and you're going to get the good stuff. In about 30 minutes, I'm not looking to start a radio war because those are so 90s. That said, something came to my attention about a Tampa Bay morning show that... I'll be honest with you. It takes a lot to shock me. I don't know that I can be offended, so I'm not. But I found this shocking and disgusting. And we've got some audio that we'll play for you at about 2:30. But before we get to that, John Senning is going to deliver what sets us apart from other programs on the radio, and that is our unique and sometimes bizarre personal life.
It's funny because I feel like we have both started doing this thing probably within the last 6 months, maybe less than that, where if things happen to us, we will not tell each other. And then we will wait until we're live on the air, which I think really makes it better all the way around. And this one was tougher than most because as the first portion of this story I'm about to tell you was unfolding, all I wanted to do was to text you and be like, what do you think of what's happening right now? And I didn't. And I didn't. And we've waited until today so I can tell the full tale.
Man, I'm so glad.
It's fascinating, bizarre, and also hard to believe that this actually is a thing that can happen. So
I'm all ears.
Last night we had some dinner. We made some veggie burgers and some zucchini fries, and we were watching Under the Bridge on Hulu.
That's the name of it. I've been trying to think of the name of the show you guys are watching.
I may talk you out of it. Oh. I was just talking to Monica about the fact that it's jumping the shark. Okay. Like, it needs to wrap the hell up. But I did find out the lady that is the main lead, who plays the writer that wrote the book and stars in it and is entwined in it, is Elvis's granddaughter.
Riley Cow or whatever?
Yeah, there was those news stories going around about whatever the hell is going on at Graceland, and I learned that's Elvis's granddaughter. But anyways, we're watching that, and I often keep my phone not totally near me in the nighttime, like usually just away, maybe within reach, but away.
Yep.
So we're watching TV, and I pick up my phone at some point, and I see that I've got 4 missed calls from a 727 number in St. Pete.
Okay.
So Danielle, you know, she works in the fraud area of a very big credit card company.
Sure.
And she's always kind of like trying to stop me from buying into scams or text or whatever it is.
Good.
She goes, it's definitely a scam. And I was like, I wouldn't let it go. I mean, I would not let it go. This is probably around 9:30, 9:45 maybe. I was so taken by it. So I kept telling her, I was like, I'm going to call it back. And she's like, John, it's a scam. She goes, why wouldn't they have left a voice message if it was important? So she goes,
that's when they got me, by the way, like 9:30 at night. That's when the scammers got me.
She goes, why wouldn't they text you? Because I just kept saying, like, what if something is up? So then I start thinking, my buddy from Michigan, Tim, is in town, and they have an Airbnb. So I'm thinking maybe something happened at their house and he's calling me from their landline.
Lost
so it. I text him and I say, hey, dude, are you calling me from another number? He goes, no. So I'm like, what the hell? So I kind of get in the period of time where I'm over it, and I kind of let it go. And I'm like, okay, it was a scammer. So sometime shortly after that, maybe 15, 20 minutes, my phone has been sitting away from me again, and I pick up my phone, and what do you know? I've got 5 missed calls from another 727 number.
A different one.
A different number. So at this point, it is like all-encompassing in our night, because I'm not calling you back, but I still, like, I'm just having fun with it. I'm talking about how it's probably a stalker. I was like telling Danielle, I'm like, I'm somebody's baby reindeer, and it's a whole conversation all the way in to go to bed, and I'm telling her, like, I'm going to call this. I got to call this number. She's like, John, it is a scam. Someone is trying to do something not good. If they had an important message for you, they would be leaving you a voicemail.
Did you Google the number?
I Googled them both.
Okay.
And they both, I don't even understand, based on what the payoff is going to be, what it was doing, because it brought up, like, these Instagram videos about domestic violence.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, traced back to a business of sorts. Like, both when I Googled both numbers, they took me to the same Google page that really had no answers at all. They could have just been erroneous. So maybe I let it go, but not really. We're talking about it for the next hour or so, and we get into bed sometime around 10:30, and we're watching TV, and it's probably time has passed. It's 10:45, 10:50, and I'm laying there looking at my phone, and then
what's that?
And I look down, and it's like 10:50. And I almost want to pretend like I didn't hear it, because at this point, my mind immediately is like, the calls are connected to the knocking at the front door. So another one. And at this point, I don't know what to think. I don't know. I'm just thinking it's not good. So
you don't have, I mean, I don't want to put your business out there, but you don't have a 12 gauge, right?
No. And I will say, an aside, the thoughts going through my mind were, I need a gun.
Yes, you do.
I need a gun right now.
Yes.
And then, based on what I'm about to tell you, like, that's how people end up getting shot.
Right.
Is coming to the door with a gun, which maybe I would have had it. Maybe I would have had it.
It was a police?
So maybe I would have had it concealed or not. So I'm like, I'm naked. Keep in mind, I'm naked. So it's taking me a while to get dressed, and I'm like, I don't know what my level of panic is, but I'm just like, who the hell is at the door?
Have they identified themselves as police?
No. At this point, no.
Okay, all right.
At this point, no. All right. So I make it into the living room, and I peek out the window, and there is a police officer pounding on my front door.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Folks, I did not know this. Like, this is the first time I'm finding out who it was. I took 3 guesses earlier today. Didn't even think, okay.
Dude, I will tell you, it's the greatest story, but I will also prepare you for a fall from grace when it comes
all
to
right.
the payoff.
Anticlimactic, but just bring me to the climax.
So I open the door, and there is a gentleman there, St. Pete PD.
Yep.
And I will tell you, from the time that I peek through the window to the time that I open the door, if you could have like been watching my mind work in real time, because I'm wondering like what laws I've broke. I start thinking about things that I've talked about on the radio. I start thinking about that day in traffic, what I had done. And then my mind just starts going to somebody I love is dead. You know what I mean? Like I am automatically like something terrible has happened. And I open the door and he says, are you
by the way, I'm sorry. He never identified
there was no police.
Then what if you opened the door with a gun?
There was no police. There was just knocking.
Oh, man.
And it was, I will tell you, it was not a neighborly knock. It wasn't, we're pounding on the door.
Right.
But it was, you know, I think there was three separate sets of knocks and they were all like enough to kind of chill you up. So he goes, are you John Senning? And I said, yes, I am. And what was going on? This is the craziest thing ever. I assume that police are very busy, and I'm not saying that these policemen aren't. But I had told you, and I hadn't shared this information online. Brody saw a holistic veterinarian.
Oh no! And where is this going?
Okay. This was an in-home holistic veterinarian who did acupuncture. And ultimately prescribed him a blend of holistic herbs, okay? It's still not going where you think it's going.
Oh, man.
So this package was like on a one-night. We saw her not yesterday, the day before. So it was like on a one-night shipping thing.
Okay.
It got sent to our exact address, but south, okay?
Oh, all right.
And the man who got the package called 911.
Because he got a package with herbs?
I don't fully understand it. It was a completely closed package. It was a completely closed package. So I don't know.
Did he open it?
No. No. But he called 911.
To say what?
And he said, somebody delivered something to my house. I don't know exactly how it went down, but somebody delivered something to my house. It's the wrong address, and I'm not dealing with it. I'm leaving it on the front porch, and it will be stolen by morning. Is what he essentially told the cops.
You can call 911?
Dude.
That's an abusive 911. They got to arrest this prick.
I will tell you, it is.
We know where you live.
It is.
You live at the south version of John's address. I'm going to find you.
And all I could, like, once I realized what it was about, and then I said, well, I've been getting these crazy calls all night. And he said, yeah, that was me and my partner trying to get a hold of you.
How did they get your number?
I have no idea. I mean, am I in a system?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So long story. And at this point, he had already put it in the mailbox. So like he didn't even have it. So he was like, yeah, we've been trying to get a hold of you.
So what if you're a gun owner like I am? You have a couple of guns. You got a 380 sitting right by the door just in case you need to open the door. You got a 12 gauge in your closet in case you got a home invader, whatever. You use your Second Amendment right as an American citizen, a knock on your door late at night after receiving mysterious phone calls.
Yeah.
No one identifies themselves as a police officer. So you open the door like any God-fearing American would or criminal-fearing American would with a gun in your hand.
Yeah. And it was, I'm telling you, I don't know if I would have been drawn down, but I definitely, if I had a gun, it would have been, you know, at my hip when I answered the door. Because my brain was just going so fast about how, like, this can't be good. You know what I mean? Like, these 10 phone calls I got tonight, and now someone's pounding on my door. Like, I don't know what it is, but it ain't good. And I just said to him, I like, repeatedly apologized. I said, I can't, because he's like, we're stationed in the south side. Because it's the south
version
address of ours. So, I mean, he's an officer in a very active south side of St. Pete. And it had seemed like he had spent the last 2 hours trying to track me down so he could give me Chinese herbs for my dog.
Just think how many crimes took place in the south side of St. Pete.
He was such a nice guy. He was so nice. And I tried to apologize. It was clearly, you know, it wasn't my fault. But I was in shock that that's even a thing that can happen. That somebody could call the police and have... I don't even know. I can't even wrap my head around the fact that they fielded the call, let alone then took the effort to make sure
You got your package.
So the funny thing was, is this morning, I don't want to say that the guy who got the package delivered to his house is maybe a little out there, but like I got a call from the vet from the holistic vet this morning. She said, "Hey, I don't know what happened. Your package went to the wrong address, and I received multiple calls from the guy who it went to." And I'm like, I don't know how.
Man, what a...
I don't know.
Everybody's struggling. We're all fighting battles, and blah, blah, blah.
Maybe I'm missing a detail lost in translation of the of what led to that, but I still, even, I don't know. I would just be surprised even that they would knock on the door at 11 o'clock at night for something such
as
that.
For a package.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel bad that the police were even dabbling in a lost package situation. But man, it was a heart pounding hour in the Senning household.
That is abusive 911.
Yeah, it really, like, it might be
a normal, look, I'm not even a normal person, but a slightly askew person gets a package that's addressed to the north version of their address and goes, "Oh, all right, I'm going to take care of this in the morning." You don't call 911. I know where you live.
So there's another slight wrinkle to the story.
Okay.
Which herbs are illegal. I don't know. Dude, and that was kind of my first thought when he was just like, "Are you John Senning?"
Oh, man.
And then he like referenced the package. And I'm like, "Oh, God, what is in this package?"
Opium.
Like, what did they do?
Yeah.
So I don't know how long ago it was, but we received like a certified mail to the South address. And it was closing papers. It was like closing on property. Like, this was a very official, time-sensitive stuff.
Yeah.
So I called, I think he could be retaliating is what I'm about to tell you. So there was a number for like a, what do they call those people? Like, not a notary, but is a closing company? Is there people that do closings?
I think so. I think they're called closing agents.
Either way, pertaining to this important closing on property in Florida, the other half of it was a company from up north. So I get it, and I can see that it's to the south, to the other address. So I call, and the lady's like, "Could you do me a favor and take this to the FedEx and do this and do this?
No.
And we'll find a way to reimburse you for the..." And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I called you, and I want to help in any way that I can."
No.
I said, "But I'm not..." Because she also was like, "It's time sensitive. We're supposed to be closing in the next 6 hours." And I said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I said, "I am sorry. I will do..." You know, I think I even offered to meet him somewhere.
That's very nice of you.
And I was like, I work in St. Pete. I could meet somebody, but I'm not dealing with it.
Uh-uh.
So I don't know if he then got the word of that and then wanted to kind of make a big hullabaloo about the package that arrived, knowing that I was the guy who didn't want to help him. But it ended up landing me the police knocking on my door at 11 o'clock at night, which is not cool.
Because of a package that was delivered to the wrong address.
Of Chinese herbs.
That could have gone south. Like, what if you had hypothetically been burning a joint in your living room?
Yeah, which I think I would have been. I think I would have been well within my legal right.
I mean, I got a card.
I'm a patient.
That's true.
And that's what, man, I told Danielle when we were finally calming down, because I could not go to sleep afterwards. Like, I just could not get to sleep after the whole deal. And I just said to her, like, the amount of things that ran through my mind in that maybe 10 seconds between when I looked out the window and saw that the cops were banging on the door. Because if I'm like, maybe something's going on in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe there's break-ins, maybe something. And then I'm just, but I told her, I said, I just couldn't help but think of all of the illegal things that I might have done.
Of course.
And luckily, everybody's okay. And all it was some late night Chinese herbs delivery from St. Pete PD. So shout out to St. Pete PD. Very, dude, he was a badass looking cop, too.
Like real thick looking dude.
He was super thick. And
THICC.
He was tatted. He full sleeves on both arms.
Oh, yeah.
And like, dude, like
what
slick.
What kind of tattoos?
Like slick back hair.
Did you get to see like.
No, I was not focused enough. I was just like, damn, this dude. Like, if he wanted to bust in my door, I would let him. Yeah.
Why are you knocking at the front door when I usually let you in the back?
Yeah, and
man, that's back in like 1993 or something. If like you had a joint in an ashtray and they happened to knock on the door, like you're going to jail.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not. And there was part of me, not a big part of me, but part of me just wanted to go back to bed. Like when I looked out there and I'm like, what could it be? Like if somebody's dead. Let me get one last good night of sleep before, you know, somebody I love is dead.
Because Because you think of all the movies where the cops show up at the door like hat in the hands and they go, I'm sorry, Mr. Sending. But
if it wasn't for the fact that I had already checked in with my buddy, I would have thought that something happened over there at the house and I was just the only local contact that they had for them.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, but I had already checked in with him, so I knew that wasn't the case. But
man,
it's crazy to think about what real people that live criminal lives are like, because I imagine the cops come knocking often.
Oh, very frequently. This is why I love when Xander, like, if he's hanging out with some friends and he ends up crashing over there, he'll almost always text me, like, midnight one, so I wake up in the morning and I see, hey, Dad, just to let you know, because, like, I just think about that knock on the door, and wow, dude.
It's crazy, right? Weird, bizarre, wild. And Brody took his first dose of the Chinese herbs this morning.
He was destined to get these herbs.
He really was. Well, and so the lady, like, in the email that she sent, or the text message, she said, I've done a trace on it. I can't find the location of where it is unknown. I'm sending out a new delivery right now. And by the time I called her, I'm like, hey, it's a wild story, but the police hand delivered the Chinese herbs last night.
So it wasn't addressed to the wrong address.
No, it was bizarre, and I don't know how the postal service works, but the actual original address on the envelope was correct. And then there was like a little sticker, like a secondary sticker that had a barcode on it.
Yeah.
And that sticker with the barcode said South. So I don't know who puts that one on or how it happened, but at some point the South address got put on,
the downside of living in St. Pete.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, like, I didn't say all the things I wanted to say, which is pretty much like, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we're on the South side. So, you know, it took us a while. We wanted to make sure that you lived here before we brought it over. Like, that's why we were calling you.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, damn, I know there's something going on over there right now. Get out of here. Go stop somebody from getting shot.
Right. At least it's rare morning when you wake up and there wasn't a shooting and killing in the South Side.
That would have been messed up if I woke up this morning and it's like 11 o'clock, St. Pete, a normally highly trafficked area by police,
like that sports bar that people are complaining about. There's like a sports bar in the South Side that the neighbors are all complaining because there's shootings and gang activity.
Dude, that place
and stuff.
That's in an area that's not.
Yeah.
Trying to be on the come up.
I remember when I had my eyes open to St. Pete, my first marriage, we got married at the Mansion House Bed and Breakfast in downtown St. Pete. And I'd always thought, like, growing up and going to St. Pete with my granny, it was like lovely, sunken gardens, like all that. And I never thought. So, like, I remember staying there, and then there was a convenience store nearby that was like a hood convenience store, Stop and Rob.
Yeah. I mean, the South Side used to be closer, if that makes
sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There used to be more South Side.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of calls. I do want to get to your other story.
Yeah, we can hold on it. Yeah, I can do it.
Because I don't want to rush through that one. No. And ladies, you know what? You were right about the bear. We're sorry.
It's so interesting. And I told you this morning, like, when things happen to me, they really happen to me. Because I was thinking about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when I had and this was tongue in cheek compared to what happened today.
Yeah.
But I had the Miami boy toy in the sauna the same day as the pugs.
Oh yeah.
So I was just thinking about how, you know, things seem to happen in twos with
me.
But this thing that happened this morning, I'm gonna joke about it and I'm gonna make light of it.
Right.
But I don't really think it's cool, and I don't think that a lot of men would have responded the way that I did, which was barely.
You responded a lot more peacefully and diplomatically than 90% of straight men would.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a tease.
Yeah.
Hello, Drew Garabo live with John Senning.
No,
how may I help you?
I told you I wasn't being one.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how can I help you today?
Oh, I was just calling in for this show.
Hi, is this my holistic vet?
We're the show. John and Drew, we're the show. So,
Are you my holistic vet?
You have Chinese herbs?
I don't know if I did that very well.
You don't know if you did what?
Hello?
Called it?
Oh, she's.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
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 Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've never called the radio station before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What can we do for you?
What can we do for you?
Okay, I was calling in because there was a contest and the word was score.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. high score.
Row, 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 gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Hi.
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 Hey.
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 Hi.
Sup?
Hi. Sup?
Okay. I was just calling in, first timer.
Nice to have you. What's
nice
your name?
Nice to have you. What's your name?
My name is Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Where are you from, Jennifer?
Where are you from, Jennifer?
I'm from California, but I'm in Sarasota, living permanently since 98.
What part of California?
What part of California?
Southern, like Glendale area.
Oh, I know Glendale very well. I went to Pasadena last year.
Yep, I was born in Pasadena.
Hell yeah.
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 Yeah.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, you do? What's your favorite thing about the show?
Just the commentary, everything going on, and I listen to 102.5 absolutely all day long. There's no other station on in my car, and there hasn't been for years.
102.5
the what? 102.5
the what? The Bone.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Can you name your favorite three people on 102.5
the Bone?
Well, Drew Garoppolo.
You got that one right.
Yeah, and I like the show that comes on before, and my brain is going.
Oh, man, that's that P1.
Okay. I don't know the guy from New York or New Jersey, his accent and what's her name? Boy, I'm getting short-term memory.
Hi.
Hi.
That's neat, isn't that the way it's written?
I don't know that at first I thought it was.
You don't like it anymore?
No.
No.
Oh, John's losing his zeal for your echo.
Oh, okay. So let me change from my handheld.
Oh, okay.
To my phone.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying.
All right.
Okay.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, I got so excited.
That's nice.
I thought she was going to
hang
up.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So what's up?
I'm new to this.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. No kidding. I'm actually surprised I got through.
Me too.
Yeah.
So now
that the first time.
Now that you did, what can we do for you?
I don't know. I thought I was trying to put the app on my phone when, and I couldn't do it. So I set a number to call for the contest, and it said, and on the, was about 202 on my thing, it said to call, wait for whatever, call in next 15 minutes. So I did.
Oh, well, it's you heard it at 202 and it said call in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah,
have you checked the clock?
229.
I did call in. I've been on hold. You answered.
Oh, no. But yeah, unfortunately,
okay, so
I'm sorry. Technically, you know, we have to give it to the person who called in closest to 215, and so if you'll just hold on for me, I'm just going to give the $1,000 to this person. I want you to witness it. Hello, who are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You
yeah, you're on, and you win $1,000.
Who won?
Or did he?
I can't deal with that anymore. It's going to be that kind of show, John. We bring so much of ourselves.
That is, that's
so
true.
Much of our lives to this.
And that's what we get. We get
that's
that
what
lady.
We get. We get that back. Mm. You know, you unburden yourself of a police encounter that could have gone south and bloody. And this is what these people give us. A lady who can't figure out Bluetooth or a contest and some dildo who can't play along.
That guy, I actually had a good vibe on him.
Oh.
He was caught in the crosshairs.
Sorry, sir.
If he would have been the first call,
you're right.
We would have vibed with
him. You're right. Call back, sir.
He got, what was her name?
Jennifer.
He got lost in the Jennifer vortex.
Didn't we all? Hang on if you're on the line. We want to talk to you, probably. But when we come back, I am the vice president of the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay. I got involved in this because I received a community award from Craig, who's the president of the DSATB, And I got involved initially because my nephew, who just graduated middle school and is going into high school, Will, has Down syndrome. And it's completely changed my view on a lot of things, especially the use of the R word. Our president, Craig, has a very passionate stance about it, especially when it comes to the use of it on the radio. I don't take any credit for it, but on this radio station, I know I think I've heard Mike Calta talking about the fact that he's changed his opinion and stance on that word. And that, you know, I didn't ever try to do that.
I think he does give you credit for that. I've heard him mention your name in reference to his current stance on it, that he doesn't. I think he even said that when he was recently on with us. That he doesn't use it,
and that means a lot to me. It really does. But I never browbeat him about it. I wasn't crazy about the fact that they used to use R-worded news, but I never once went to anybody about it because I think different people say different words, and that's cool. That said, I think we're now in 2024 in a position where, like, broadcasters shouldn't be using that word, especially not carelessly. Is that okay to say?
Absolutely. And I do believe, you know, your connection to the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay and Craig and his stance on it and other people that will eventually be involved in this conversation that may or may not be on the show where this took place. I think it's, you know, you got to walk it like you talk it. And if this happens on Tampa radio, I think to ignore it, you know, considering people have reached out to you, including the president of the Down Syndrome Association, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least chat about it.
And we will. And it's a morning show, I guess, that is very popular in the Tampa Bay area. A guy I've never met before.
He used to have you blocked, didn't he?
He did. I think he unblocked me like a year ago. I know he's rather, or he used to be rather litigious.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. We're within the law here, right?
Oh, yeah. As long as we don't make any actionable comments towards him.
Did he lost, right?
He did lose. Yeah. Take an L. So, anyway, when we come back, this audio was called to my attention. I don't listen to this program, but there was a segment where this word was used gratuitously, egregiously, in my opinion. And I want to get your opinion in a segment that John had the friggin' brilliant idea to call Just a Word or He's a Turd. Next on Drew Garabo Live with John Senning. You know, Fran Hosch has some great events going on this weekend, some awesome Memorial Day events. There's a grill and chill to go to. There's Memorial Weekend Poker. You can find out all these things and more by going to lawfran.com or the Fran Hosch Law Group Facebook events page.
Tonight, it's Burt's Great American Bike Night at Harley-Davidson at Burt's Barracuda, 6 to 10. And Saturday, I believe one Drew Garabo will be present for the Clearwater Honor Fest at Coachman Park. Come out and honor the sacrifices of those men and women who laid their lives down for us and this country. The parade starts at 10 a.m., followed by the memorial service at 12 p.m. What time are you out there?
I'm out there at 12.
Perfect. And Sunday, it's Peggy's Corral Memorial Day event, Palmetto, 12 to 4. For information on all these events and everything, Fran Hosch. Go to lawfran.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.